May the Lord enable us to commence this evening with hymn 379. Come, my soul, thy suit prepare. Jesus loves to answer prayer. He himself has bid thee pray, therefore will not say thee nay. 379.
Let us read together in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. May the Lord bless the reading of that portion of his sacred word to our souls, and grant to us now the gracious help of the Holy Spirit. Most holy and eternal, ever merciful Lord God, do look down in thy divine compassion now upon a company of poor, needy sinners. Thou knowest those that have gathered with an exercise in their heart. Thou knowest those burdened souls, those tried and tempted souls. Thou knowest, Lord, those who are truly hungering and thirsting after Christ. Oh, might it please thee this evening that in thy infinite mercy that thou wilt gather with us and cause thy voice to be heard in this place. For thou knowest how we've gathered. Thou knowest, Lord, our own felt insufficiency and poverty. But, Lord, thou art rich. And we have been reminded of those riches in the word that we have just read together. But, oh, it is to be found a partaker of those rich blessings, to be found a partaker of Christ. O Lord, do come in thine infinite mercy and feed our souls with living bread this night. Lord, our need is great, thou knowest, but Lord, thou art greater than all our needs. For thou hast promised to supply our need according to thy riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And although, Lord, we come poor and needy, with nothing of our own to bring, full of sin, and Lord, thou knowest our spiritual condition, but, oh, Lord, we would come just as we are and plead with thee for mercy, venturing once more to plead the precious name of Jesus, that name that thou dost love to hear thy children plead. For we would plead his name, his blood, his righteousness, for our acceptance, for that is our only hope. For, Lord, we have been reminded in that word that we have just read that all thy dear people have been made accepted in the Beloved. Lord, we pray that we may be given that grace to lay hold of that truth. But, Lord, we would have it manifested to us more and more in thy love, thy mercy, and thy divine compassion toward poor, needy sinners. Lord, might we know it, even this night, if it could please thee. But truly, Lord, thou knowest our various cases and conditions. And Lord, thou knowest those sin-sick souls before thee, those burdened souls, those tried and tempted ones, those devil-driven ones. Oh, Lord, might it please thee to come this night and come just where we are. Lift up beggars from the dunghill of self and all that is of the creature. And if there are those who feel to be in that horrible pit of corruption and the miry clay of this dying world, oh, Lord, do come and lift them up as only thou canst by thy mighty power. Set their feet upon a rock and establish their goings as thou hast promised to do for thy dear people. Lord, we would thank thee for what thou hast done in this little church and congregation. And Lord, we would be humbled by it, yet thou dost still remember thy dear people, those hidden ones, those tried and tempted ones. Lord, we pray that there might be a portion for their souls this night. For Lord, we thank thee, for thou hast sweetly constrained one to seek to walk in thy ways and obey thy commands. Lord, be with her now, uphold her now. Lord, amidst many fears, many assaults by the enemy to our soul, Lord, set a hedge around about her. But Lord, as she draws near to that time when she expects to bear witness to those things that thou hast done for her and in her, Lord, we pray that she may know the sweetness and blessedness of thy love and mercy and compassion, the wonders of her dear Saviour, what he is and what he has done for her. And Lord, she may know in her own heart a little rejoicing in her Lord and Saviour. Lord, we commit her unto thee and seek that thou wilt bless her and grant to her her soul's desires. And we would pray for each member of the church and congregation and seek, Lord, that as they witness these things, if spared, Lord, we pray that others may be so wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit, brought to know their need of thee and thy great salvation, and brought to speak of the wonders of thy love and mercy. Lord, we live in a solemn day, but Lord, there are still those souls that thou hast wilt bless, and we pray that thou wilt work yet mightily in this place, that there yet may be an ingathering of precious souls brought to testify of the wonders of thy love and mercy. Lord, we pray for all thy dear people in their varying pathways they're walking in that thou hast appointed for them. Lord, we pray for more grace. We pray for an increase of faith. Lord, that we may constantly be found looking unto thee, casting our every care upon thee, seeking that thou wilt hold up our goings in thy paths, that our footsteps slip not, and set a watch before our mouths and keep the door of our lips. For, Lord, the work and the power is thine. We pray, Lord, for those especially who are feeling after thee, if haply they might find thee. Lord, thou who hast begun that good work in them, Lord, may it in thy time be manifest to the wonders of thy love and mercy and grace displayed to poor, needy sinners. We pray for those who have the responsibility here and seek that thou wilt remember them each in much mercy. Uphold and strengthen them in the office that they hold. Grant them all sufficient grace and grant to them thy wisdom to seek ever to know and do thy will. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant to them their soul's desires. We pray for all thy true sent servants. Thou knowest where they're labouring this night. Remember them in much mercy. Lord, thou knowest how far short we come. For, Lord, we have nothing, only that which thou dost give. And, Lord, thou art faithful that promised. And we pray that this night, wherever thy gospel is preached, might it go forth with mighty power into the hearts of poor, needy sinners, that the word might be applied. But, Lord, that there may be brought forth from many a heart a song of praise upon thy from their lips, speaking of the wonders of thy love and mercy to poor, needy sinners. Lord, we pray for all thy people, and thou knowest where they are. And as we view the solemn scene in Zion, how few gather in thy earthly courts. And yet, Lord, thou knowest them that are thine. For the foundation of God standeth sure, having that seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. But, Lord, we pray that our concern may be to have a clearer view of our interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, testifying that we are among those for whom thou didst come into this sin-cursed earth, to walk here below in complete obedience to thy Father's commands, and to go to Gethsemane and to Calvary, and there to make a perfect atonement for the sins of the whole election of grace, that those sins so great were put away there by the dear Lord and Saviour, who did rise again, testifying that each one of thy dear people are justified in him through his obedience and found washed in his blood, clothed in his righteousness, perfect and complete in the dear Saviour. Lord, we pray for this guilty land, and thou seest all that is taking place in the day in which we live, the confusion in government. But, Lord, thy eternal thought moves on in thy undisturbed affairs. Lord, we pray for grace to bear this nation before thee, and seek that if it is thy will, that thou wilt yet have mercy for the sake of thy remnant and for thy great name's sake. But, Lord, we would be made submissive to thy will and way. And whatever thou hast determined from eternity past, as we view this solemn scene, Lord, do grant us all needed grace to leave it all with thee. And Lord, if thou dost see fit to bring thy solemn judgments upon this sinful nation, those judgments which we richly deserve, O Lord, we pray for grace to submit to that which thou wilt accomplish, believing, Lord, that thy dear people are eternally safe, they ever have been, they ever will be. And Lord, it is alone through a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, the ground of our hope and the foundation of our faith. Oh, do grant us more grace to trust alone in thee and to cast our every care upon thee. Lord, we would seek now thy gracious help as we turn to thy word. Thou knowest our need, the needs of the people. Lord, do keep us from the enemy to our souls. Lord, may we be found at thy feet this night, waiting to hear what thou wilt speak. But Lord, that it might be a living word to living souls, that there may be something done even this night, wherein thy name is honoured and glorified, and souls blessed. Lord, we would thank thee for all thy many mercies and favours toward us. How great those favours are, both in providence and in grace. And Lord, we're unworthy of them. But oh, we pray that we might know more of that spirit of true thankfulness to thee, that thou dost still remember us, despite all our many sins and transgressions. Lord, thou alone knowest how great they are. But, oh Lord, we would thank thee that thy mercy transcends all the sins of the whole election of grace. And Lord, oh, let that mercy come unto us, even thy salvation, according to thy word. Lord, as we turn to thy word now, do grant to us thy gracious help. Give the hearing ear, the understanding heart. Deliver us from all that would intrude into our minds. Keep us from the enemy to our souls. But oh, that our hearts and minds may be fixed upon a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, the one upon whom our hopes of heaven depend. We ask these petitions in the name and for the sake of the Lord Jesus alone. Amen.
Hymn 1103. O thou that hearest the prayer of faith, which thou, a soul from death, that casts itself on thee, I have no refuge. Oh, sorry, I've lost my glasses. 1103. Thank you.
The word that rests upon my spirit to bring before you this evening as the Lord will enable me, you'll find in the chapter that we read, the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, and verses 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18 and 19. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glorious glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and a revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. The city at Ephesus was an idolatrous city. We find there was that goddess, Diana of the Ephesians. There was a temple erected there, and there are many, many who worshipped at that idolatrous one. And yet, there was in Ephesus many of the Lord's people. And we find when the Apostle Paul went there and preached to them, we read this, and many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed, so much so that those who were worshipping that evil God, we came to this, where they disposed of all their books, curious arts, and burned them before all men, an open declaration of their love to God's grace manifested to them. And now we find in this sweet epistle that your Apostle Paul addressing the saints that are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. He reminds them of those spiritual blessings that were found in heavenly places that they knew and been the subject of. And he reminds them, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be found holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. What glorious truths these are, my dear friends. And it is addressed to those souls who are found amongst the Lord's living family. They are brought and led and taught by the Holy Spirit to know these truths in a measure, experimentally, in their soul's experience. in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Oh, my dear friend, what a sweet cluster of gospel truths are here couched in these words. Do they have an echo in your poor heart and mine? Oh, we may not be able to say very clearly, but do we have a hope that we are amongst those whom God set his love upon in eternity past, whom he desired to display and has desired displayed the wonders of his grace to you, a poor, needy sinner? Well, it's these characters that the Apostle Paul, and you'll notice, prays for. We read this. He ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, I do not know whether you've observed it as you've read these epistles, but you'll find many of the epistles written by the Apostle Paul are preceded by a prayer, a desire that the truths of the gospel may be made known to those characters to whom he wrote and doubtless to whom he preached. For we have reminded of that one desire of the dear apostle. He desired to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so as you read through these epistles, take note of the prayers of the Apostle Paul ere he begins to speak in these epistles. And this word in our text is a prayer offered up by the dear Apostle Paul, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. You see, the key to this word is this: a knowledge of Christ. And how vital that is if we are a child of God, if we are being led and taught by the Holy Spirit, and have been brought out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light, and brought to know what sinners we are and what our sins deserve, the dear Holy Spirit will lead that soul to one place. They are brought to repentance and to true confession of their sins and acknowledge that they have sinned against a holy God. But they're led to the dear Lord Jesus Christ, to see in him and in him alone is their ground of their hope of reaching heaven at last. That one who wrought out that great work of salvation in Gethsemane and at Calvary, yea, in that perfect life that he lived here below, he laid down his life and rose again from the dead, wherein each one of his dear people stand justified in him, that is perfect and complete, sinless, in a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer, clothed in his righteousness, washed in his blood. Now the desire of the apostle was this: that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. And so, my dear friend, if you're the Lord by his dear Holy Spirit, is leading and teaching and instructing you, Where will you find that instruction? You'll find it first of all in the Holy Word of God. As the Holy Spirit reveals to that child of God where the precious truths of the gospel are so clearly set forth in this Holy Word. They read it. They sing that the Lord would bless the Word to their souls. They see their need of these things that are recorded in this book concerning that the Lord's dealings with his dear people. They search the Scriptures. And my dear friend, when the Lord deals with his dear people, often he speaks to them through the Holy Word of God. He'll give unto you the Spirit of wisdom. And that is, my dear friend, you'll come in faith as you read the Word of God, that grain of faith. And where is it? Where is the evidence of it? It's in the expectation that as we read God's holy word, we want to hear the word spoken with power into our poor hearts. Is it not so, my dear friend? Is it not the desire of your heart as you read the word of God? Ah, perhaps we say, I would that I had the time to read it more. My dear friend, if you have a hunger and thirst in your heart and a desire to know a precious Christ, you'll find the time to read this word, because here we have recorded the glorious work of salvation, what Christ is and what he has done. It speaks of his wondrous love and mercy to poor, needy sinners. And they find within this holy word many characters and their paths they walked in. And we'll find there, I believe, whatever circumstance or whatever path we are found in, and as we journey through this wilderness here below, we shall find a character, a companion. And oh, dear friend, how often has that dear psalmist been your companion and mine as we read through that book of Psalms, the paths that he walked in, the dark places that he came into, the far-off places that he knew, the darkness felt in his heart and mind. Burdened and troubled, condemned under his own sins, conscious of who he had sinned against, brought to heartfelt repentance, the paths of those of the psalmist. But my dear friend, we too, if we are an exercised soul, will know something of those experiences in our hearts and the paths that dear servant of God walked in. And so it is throughout God's holy word. There's much teaching. And when the dear Lord Jesus Christ came upon this earth, my dear friend, he walked here below. Oh, such gracious and blessed words fell from his lips, all recorded in this precious book. And my dear friend, how often have we fed under the word and have perhaps been encouraged when cast down with those precious promises the Lord speaks to his people. I will not leave thee, nor forsake thee. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. The paths of the Lord's people, my dear friend, it is this heavenly wisdom. Oh, we may have much earthly wisdom, but my dear friend, that is of no value to us as if we are found walking in this heavenly way. It's that wisdom which is conveyed to us by the one who is the wisdom of his people, and that one who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. The word of God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom to search the word, to read it prayerfully. And my dear friend, how often do we, when we pick up the word of God to read it, how often are there those prayers that ascend from our hearts, are silently, oftentimes, that as we read the word, that the Lord would come and speak into our poor heart and clothe the word with power. The Lord's people know a little of it, I believe. But you know, when we know a little of it, it's when we are brought to extremities in our experience. When we come to the end feelingly of everything, when we feel to be so low, perhaps feeling so lifeless, far off from the Lord, and we cry unto the Lord, pleading with him that he'd remember us, pleading the word, precious truths contained in this word, in faith. And my dear friend, have there not been those times when you've been sweetly encouraged by the truth, because you know a little of the power and reality of the truth as it is applied to your heart and conscience by the work of the dear Holy Spirit? May give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now it goes on. And revelation in the knowledge of him. What does that mean? My dear friend, it's when Christ reveals himself to a poor, needy sinner. It's those times when the Lord shows to us a little what he is and what he has done for our never dying souls. Those precious moments when the Lord comes and visits your poor soul and gives you a sweet token of his love and mercy to you. Some of you know it, I'm sure, but my dear friend, these times are blessed times, real experiences. They are wrought in the heart by the work of the Holy Spirit. It's when the dear Lord draws near. And it may be in our work. It may be in the darkness of the night. We awake from sleep. And have there not been those times when the Lord has sweetly drawn our hearts and minds away from all time things, breaks in a little into our poor heart, shows to us a little of what he is, what he has done. He leads us into a path of sweet meditation upon the wonders of his love and mercy displayed to such a poor, sinful wretch. Oh, my dear friend, then, if our dear Saviour leads us to Calvary and to see him there, in all that he passed through, he suffered. In his sufferings, he was cruelly mocked, crucified for the sins of the whole election of grace. And that then the dear Holy Spirit reveals to you that your sins were there. We nailed him to the cross. It was our sins that pierced him there as he hung there on the cross at Calvary. Oh, my dear friend, it's a sweet and sacred place. And it's that place which the Lord's people, I believe, covet. They long to be there, to view by faith their Lord and Saviour suffering, bleeding, dying in the room and place of such a sinful wretch as you and I feel to be. My dear friend, divine revelation. This is the power of the gospel made known to a poor, needy sinner. Oh, you say, I long for that visit. My dear friend, those visits are not often. The Lord visits his dear people and grants to him a glimpse of himself. But it's that which a soul longs for. Why? My dear friend, if we have been raised up to a hope in his mercy and the dear Lord has given to us a sweet token of his love manifested in the pardon and forgiveness of our sins, then there's one glorious person our hearts will be set upon. The dear Lord Jesus Christ, who stood in our room and place and stead. We shall want to know him. We shall want to know and feel his presence. We shall want to hear his voice. We shall want to know little sweet communion with him. Do these things not have an echo in your heart this night? I believe the Lord's people are exercised in this way. My dear friend, it's not often. We are so often, aren't we, taken up with the things of time and sense. We seem to have so little thought about this condition of our souls, a never-ending eternity. But you know, the Lord reminds us of it constantly. I believe if we are a living soul, we are brought to mourn over it continually and plead with the Lord that he'd remember us still. The words of the psalmist will be found upon your lips and mine. Remember me, O Lord, with the favour that thou bearest unto thy people, and visit me with thy salvation. God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And so the question arises, what do we know of a precious Saviour, a dear Redeemer? Do we know him? Do we feel our need of him? Have we been found seeking those blessings that flow from him? Do we seek those testimonies made known in our poor hearts of that which he accomplished? He's done it for you and me, a knowledge of Christ. You see, dear friend, if you know anything and I know anything of a precious Christ, it's in the paths that we walk in and that his dealings, gracious dealings with us. Yes, my dear friend, there's a purpose in the paths that you and I walk in. The Lord has appointed it from eternity past. He knows his purpose that he will fulfill. And he knows, my dear friend, how painful it will be to our old flesh, but you know it's often so proved profitable to our souls. Oh, to know more of that spirit of sweet resignation to the Lord, to submit to his will and way, whatever it means. You know the Lord sees. Needs be to lay his afflicting hand upon his dear people sometimes. But you know, poor self strives sometimes to find some remedy. But if the Lord is in it, my dear friend, we shall never find it. There's only one remedy. And the Lord will bring us to that point to see it. When we come to the end of everything here below, and to come and plead with the Lord that he would remember us in our troubles, in our afflictions. Sometimes the Lord graciously puts forth his healing hands, but sometimes he doesn't see his purpose is not to do so. It wasn't with the Apostle Paul, was it? He had that messenger of Satan to buffet him, and he sought the Lord thrice, that it would be removed from him. But it never was. God saw the needs be, that he should have it. And the Lord sometimes, he sees the needs be, that you and I should walk in this path. Why? It is, my dear friend, for our spiritual profit. It's to bring us to the throne of grace. It's to make us more dependent upon him, to trust alone in him. It is that constant supply of grace that he pours out into each one of his dear people, whereby he sustains them in that path, however painful it may be. The Lord sees the needs be for it, to keep it at his feet, to keep us at the throne of grace. Is it not so, my dear friend? When do we really pray? We come close. When do we really pray? When do those heartfelt prayers come forth from your and my heart? Are they when we're walking comfortably, no real trouble we're in? Everything seems to be going so well in our little families, the events that take place around us. How exercised are we then? My dear friend, if your heart is anything like mine, we shall find that how forgetful we become of God's goodness and mercy to us. And so the Lord sees the needs be for these powers to humble us, to prove us, that we might know what is in our own hearts, the depth of depravity which is found there, the defilement through our many sins, the carnality of our heart. It's there we learn it, and there we have to mourn over it at the throne of grace. Lord, help me. Lord, appear for me. Lord, come and deliver me. And we read this, don't we? When they cried unto the Lord in their troubles, he delivered them out of their distresses. The powers of the Lord's people are knowledge of Christ. So what do we know of the Lord Jesus? Have we heard his voice? Is he working within our heart? Have we been brought into a soul exercise and concern regarding our sins? Or are we content to gather in the Lord's house, Sabbath by Sabbath, weekday by weekday, to come and to go, and to remain unaffected by the word, careless and indifferent? Oh, my dear friend, if that is the case, you're in a most solemn place, because we enjoy a great privilege of being able to gather in the Lord's house to hear the gospel preached. And my dear friend, if we despise it, how solemnly the Lord will deal with us. The privilege the Lord accords to his dear people. Here they learn of Christ. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Oh, you say, I feel so ignorant, so foolish. I seem to know nothing as I would know. Does it bring you to the throne of grace? Lord, teach me. Lord, lead me in thy truth and teach me. It's the cry and exercise of a living soul. That's where it will be, my dear friend, when we have our eyes, that is, given that spiritual eyesight. Then we shall have a clearer view of ourselves, what is in our own heart, our wretched condition, our sins, so great, so black. We couldn't see them before. Yes, we may have acknowledged that we were sinners, but we're not truly concerned over it. But how different when the dear Lord, by his dear Holy Spirit, opens our eyes to truly see what we are and what our sins deserve. Yea, if it's the work of the Holy Spirit, my dear friend, it'll bring forth many a cry from your poor heart and mine, as you are brought to see the perilous state you're in. Eternity is before us, our lives fast ebbing away, and the prospect of where we shall spend eternity. These things are brought home to that child of God who is now has a measure of understanding. And they see what they are, it brings them to heartfelt repentance and true confession of their sins. Can we say that we know this enlightening, my dear friend? You know, we can't mistake it. It's not something that we can just view in an intellectual sense. No. If the Holy Spirit is working in your poor heart and mine, there'll be a power that accompanies it when we are brought to that point of conviction of our sins, to truly see what sinners we are, and we're to feel condemned in our hearts and consciences on account of our many sins and transgressions. It brings us to the feet of Christ, whereby we are brought and given that grain of true living faith in exercise to plead with God for mercy. Venturing, and what a venture it is in that day when that child of God is brought empty, undone, wretched and poor, fearing the just deserts of their sins, and cannot see how they ever those deserts can ever be avoided, to cry unto God for mercy for Jesus' sake. Tremblingly you say it, for Jesus' sake, for you see there's no other way of salvation, there's no other way of reconciliation to a holy God. There's no other way that your sins can be atoned for but in the glorious person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he is and what he has done. What a mercy. If your and my eyes have been opened, and I believe as we journey through this wilderness here below, and some of you who are older will understand a little of what one is speaking of, I think the older we get, the clearer view we have of ourselves, what sin is, and how great have been our sins, how black they are, and we have reminders of those sins of our youth, that now we paid little regard to once. Now we begin to see and have a clearer view how great those sins were, and bring us to truly repent over those sins. The dear Holy Spirit often brings those sins to remembrance in the hearts of the Lord's people as they journey through this wilderness. But you know, there's someone else who reminds us of our sins, and that's the devil. Have you known it? How the devil can remind us of those sins that we had forgotten, clearly forgotten. But you see, the devil had no purpose of mercy toward that one. No. Low and cast down they felt to be. His purpose was to increase the distress and in expectation that he may bring that poor, tried, tempted soul to despair. He never can. He never will be. But the Lord uses that temptation sometimes, wherein that child of God is brought to heartfelt confession. They plead with God for mercy. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The hope of his calling, my dear friend, to know when that child of God, that time when he's called out, or she is called out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light, they're led by the Holy Spirit to Jesus Christ, and to see and observe that in that work which is continued within us and will do right down to the end of the journey here below, it is to see that it is alone through God's love and mercy. Because as we read together, we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. For what purpose? That we should be found holy and without blame before him in love. The work of the dear Holy Spirit in a poor sinner's heart, the hope of his calling. What Christ has done for their never dying souls. That perfect atonement. That perfect satisfaction. That perfect robe of righteousness. Wrought out by the dear Saviour whilst here below. Imputed to each one of his dear people. Wherein their view perfect and complete. In their Lord and Saviour. What is the hope of his calling? Your calling, my dear friend, it's this. It's to bring us to rest upon Jesus Christ and him alone. My hope is built, the hymn writer says, on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, can you say it, dear friend? You know those words we often heard sung, but how often are they sung from the true recognition and a feeling sense of the truth of the words that we sing together? It's where a child of God is brought by the Holy Spirit to being able to sing that truth, knowing it experimentally in their hearts, when Christ is revealed to them as their hope of glory. And then finally, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. That one views now that glorious prospect which awaits all of the Lord's living family. To see emptied out of self and all that is of the creature, and brought to that place where Jesus Christ is all and in all. Is he everything to you, dear friend? Is he the one that your hopes of heaven depend? Is he the one that you only seek to know more of, to feel his presence, to know Jesus Christ and him crucified for me? That's my dear friend, is where that child of God is brought, and to see that whilst here below, in those precious words in John 14, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Precious words, my dear friend, they're the words of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, yes, they were, to his dear disciples. But it is those words that are spoken to each one of the Lord's people, whom he set his love upon in eternity past, to whom he would display the wonders of his grace. What the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Oh, my dear friend, if we have Christ, we have everything. We are exceedingly rich. And although we may have a great portion of this world and nothing more, my dear friend, we shall know one day how exceedingly miserable and poor that one will be. In this epistle, I believe there's no place where it so often is referred to the riches of Christ. I believe it appears 5 or 6 times, the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory. And my dear friend, it's those riches that the Lord's people are found partakers of as they're led by the Holy Spirit out of self to Jesus Christ, and to know that that eternal inheritance that he purchased for each one of his dear people, that people whom he purchased with his own heart's blood. We read it in Acts 20, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. If you and I are amongst them, can it be that such a one can fail to reach heaven at last? Impossible, my dear friend. Gloriously impossible. Because, as the hymn writer says, once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. And if our names are found in that glorious covenant, and we have the witness of it by the Holy Spirit's gracious dealings with us in our life here below, where we've been called out of nature's darkness into his marvellous light and brought humbly to testify of the wonders of his love and mercy to their souls. My dear friend, you're a favoured soul. You're blessed. Because indeed, if that is so, you have that eternal prospect before you forever with the Lord. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to us, Lord, who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Oh, my dear friend, it is a mighty power which the Lord puts forth in his dealings with his dear people. But, my dear friend, his purpose must and will be fulfilled. And everyone whom he set his love upon chose in his beloved Son in eternity past, must and shall reach glory at last to sing his praises eternally. May that be your portion, and may it be mine. Amen.
Willing, there'll be a baptising service on Friday evening, taken by Mr. Robert Field. Mr. Adrian Pickett is expected to preach next Lord's Day, and on Monday there will be a prayer meeting followed by a short church meeting, and Mr. Stephen Rosier is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 215. Free grace to every heaven-born soul will be their constant theme. Long as eternal ages roll, they'll still adore the Lamb. 215.
Dear Lord, do bless thine own word, and do pardon all that has been amiss in our worship this night. But oh, may there be that which finds an abiding place in our poor hearts, that our souls may be refreshed and strengthened, enabled to continue looking unto Jesus. Be with us now as we part, and be with us each through the remainder of our journeys here below, and prepare us for eternity. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.